after 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning in Jesus' name. You may be seated. Praise God. Well, if I were titling this message series that we've been on, this is like week 4, I would probably title the entire message series with Pastor Christine's message included in that. I would probably title with something like, "What's going on in my head?" So that's the title of what we've been talking about, because we've been talking about thoughts. We've been talking about dealing with emotions, dealing with a lack of peace. The first week we talked about how peace, having your feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace, and that is really an offensive weapon to stay in peace, to be able to walk in peace even when you feel like everything around you is swirling, right? And then the second week was Pastor Christine talking about how to taking thoughts captive. And then she even gave us some assignments. I gave you an assignment. The first week I said, make some kind of declaration over your life based in the scripture. The second week, Pastor Christine made it a little more specific. And she said, what's your verse? What is your verse that you're using to capture thoughts, right? And then we went into last week talking about the fiery darts of the enemy. And remember, I had some ridiculous illustration that I didn't try out before I actually came up here. And the little dart gun, Satan's fiery darts. And now sometimes we look at the word fiery darts as the big thing. And it's not always the big thing. It's those little things that get kind of under our skin, that we meditate on and that we ruminate over, and that it causes an infection sometimes. If we're not careful, because we didn't capture that thought, we didn't walk in peace, we didn't understand that that's what the enemy was doing. And so this morning, I want to take that a little bit further. That's why our key verse is there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that we cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought, say every thought,
every thought,
into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And so with that said, the question is, you know, what's going on in my head? Well, the enemy, he likes to work with our head, our mind, our will, and emotions. He loves dealing with the soulish realm. He loves to get us off track, get us distracted, and cause us to think on things that are either not true, half true, right? He's the father of lies. That's what he does. We saw, and I mentioned it last week, in Genesis chapter 3, we saw how he dealt with Eve. And it says in the first verse there, it says in Genesis 3, it says that the serpent was more subtle. He was the most subtle creature in the garden. He was deceptive. The enemy doesn't come necessarily with the big thing. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he does. But sometimes he comes with those little subtleties to kind of, you know, just kind of jab at us a little bit. And we see that Eve failed in her quest, and we also notice that Adam failed in his quest, because Adam was supposed to keep and guard and protect the garden, and he sat there and he was right there when Eve was talking to the snake. Right there. Now, isn't that kind of, even today, when I hear men and women talk about our differences? Women are the natural communicators. And it does not mean that men can't communicate. It doesn't mean that. It just means that's not our number one go-to strength, right? It's because of what God created our roles and our purpose to be, right? And so when you think about it, a man if he's going to go hunting to provide for his family in ancient times, not talking about today. Today we get up, go to work, and do the same things that ladies do and vice versa, right? But what we're talking about here is that a man would have to be quiet, and typically he would be alone in the woods, and he would be sneaking up on his prey, so he's going to be quiet. He's going to be a little bit more in his head. Where's the next meal for my family? He's going to be a little bit more in his head. So naturally speaking, that we can understand the differences. But God does want us to understand that he wants men and women to use our mouth. And that's what we want to talk about a little bit more today, in dealing and capturing these thoughts, casting down these thoughts. It's going to be important to know what we're thinking on and what we're saying. Norman Vincent Peale said it this way. He says, if you change your thoughts, you'll change your life. Now, God had that idea long before Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. Because God said in his word over there in Proverbs 23, he says, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So the question you need to ask yourself this morning is, hey, what's going on in my head? What am I thinking about? Now, if you talk to some guys, they go, I'm not thinking about nothing. And when you look at them, you go, you don't look like you're thinking about anything, right? And it's because sometimes we have that ability and that disability to zone out, guys. I'm talking to my men in here. But you know what? All of us can daydream. All of us can zone out. But here's what I want you to get. That the word tells us that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. If the enemy's playground is thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, you got to monitor what's coming across the screen of your head. You've got to monitor those thoughts, and you have to control them. You have to control them by the Word of God. You have to, Dr. Robert Shuler said this, it takes but one positive thought, when given a chance to survive and thrive, to overpower an entire army of negative thoughts. Did you hear that? One thought that is positive, when given the chance to survive and thrive, will overpower an entire army of negative thoughts. So, what am I saying? I'm saying that God tells us what we're supposed to think on. The book of Philippians tells us, think on these things. Tells us what we should put our attention on. Right? Dr. Kenneth Hagin, he talked about the fact that if we really would change our thinking, that we would be able, what we're thinking about, that it would be able to change not only our life, he's echoing something similar as Dr. Vincent Peale, but he was doing it more from a scriptural basis, not saying Dr. Peale wasn't, saying that in this particular case, Brother Hagin, that's what he kind of was focused on, that if you could get somebody to change what they're ruminating on, what they're thinking, what they're meditating on, right, you can actually get them to a place to receive healing. You can get them to a place to receive salvation, right? That's how we got saved, right? We heard about the goodness of God. And it caused belief to spring up down on the inside of our heart. And then what did we do with it? We confessed it with our mouth. We said something. We said something. So the first point I want you to know today is learn what God has done for us through the cross of Christ. Learn what Jesus came and bought and paid for, so that when the thought comes across the brain screen, you will find out, wait a second, does this line up with what Jesus did for me? Does this really line up for what Jesus did for me? When we actually put the filter of God's word on it. And the second thing is we need to learn all of the tactics of the enemy when it specifically comes to you and me. You see, the thing that he's going to try to come to me with might not be the thing that he comes to my brother. You know, it might be something different that he comes to my brother with. The enemy, He likes to find out what our weaknesses are, much like the algorithms on Facebook. Because if you even remotely say, I'm looking at new outdoor patio furniture, the next time you are scrolling through Facebook, how many ads are you going to see of new outdoor furniture, right? You're going to see, oh, look at this, look at this, look at this. You know, the enemy has been doing this long before the algorithms came about in Facebook. He has tried to find your ways and find what your weaknesses are. And then he will put those thoughts, ideas, and suggestions to run across the screen of your mind. And what we do with it, that is our responsibility. What we do with it. Brother Hagin used to say, and I believe he was echoing a preacher that had lived maybe 100 years before him, that said something to the degree of, just because the birds fly overhead does not mean you need to let them nest in your hair. And just because a thought comes does not mean you need to feel guilty because it came. Because thoughts come, they come from either inside of you and your flesh, or they come from outside and they come from God. So it's either God, the devil, or you, right? And you need to determine that. So what's going on inside my head? Well, number one, remember, learn what God has done for us through the cross of Christ. Number two, learn the tactics of the enemy when it comes to how he tempts you, right? You know, what is your thing, right? You know, certain things that when I first became a Christian, they weren't temptations to me because I was like, I'm a new creation. I understood and learned what God had done for me in Christ. That's why the little book In Him was so valuable in my life as a 15-year-old. I must have read it like 8 times that year. I still reread that book because it's filled with scriptures about who we are in Christ. What does it do? It helps me learn what God has done for me in Christ. The second thing is learning the tactics of the enemy. Where does he trip you up? Sometimes people have a shorter temper than others, right? And if you have a shorter temper, you know that's where you're going to get tripped up. Then that's where he's going to set the landmine for you, right? And if you know there's somebody who knows how to push that button, the enemy knows too. Then you need to like figure out ways to minimize that. Figure out ways to escape that, not ruminate on it, but escape it. And then the third thing that we need to do is we need to lean on what the Word of God and the Spirit has done inside of us. Let the Word do its work on the inside. What do you do with your thoughts when they come? Do you capture them, like Pastor Christine was talking about? Do you actually operate in peace? Do you understand, wait, that's a fiery dart. That's designed to take me out. That particular dart that came my way was designed to take me out and put me on the devil's junkie. Because that's exactly what the enemy wants to do. If he can't talk you out of your salvation, he is going to make you the most ineffective Christian he possibly can. If he can't stop you from renouncing Christ, and then he's going to just make you very ineffective. He's going to distract you with so many distractions, even good things that come into our lives. He will distract you with those things so that they consume you. So pleasure, hey, I think it's a great idea to go on vacation. But you can't live on vacation, right? Oh, it'd be nice. It'd be nice, but eventually that gets boring. Why do you think the super wealthy have multiple houses all over the world? Because they get bored in one place. right? So what happens, though, is that we get to the point where we anesthetize, we actually drug ourselves with even good things, and we distract from the better things. How many wealthy, uber wealthy people have you ever met that are miserable? It's because they don't have inner peace. They don't know how to deal with their own turmoil on the inside, right? Well, see, we as Christians, we should be better. We should be taking captive those thoughts, and we should be rising above them so that we can be the happiest people on the planet, and not the ones that are always, right? But the problem that I see is that I don't believe we've taught Christians enough about this subject. That's why we've been hanging on to it for 4 weeks. So it's because I don't think we've grasped this to a point. Because if we had really understood 2 Corinthians 10, then I believe that there would have been a lot of Christians that would have avoided the divorce court, would have avoided a lot of the ruin and the embarrassment and the shame and the of being a thief. Or actually making mistakes. Now, don't get all pious on me and say, well, they probably weren't Christians in the first place. No, Christians fall. They make mistakes. They do. And they need your grace. They need your help. They need your prayers. When we see a famous personality become a Christian, you cannot expect them to be the most mature believer that walks on planet Earth if they just became a Christian. I heard them cuss. They must not be a Christian. Well, dear me. I mean, in the 40 plus, I've heard plenty of Christians cuss. It's not right, right? Because we should watch what comes out of our mouth. James tells us that blessing and cursing shouldn't flow out of the same stream. Right? So what do we got to do? We have to monitor the thoughts before they get to our mouth. What's going on in your head? What's going on in your head? So what do you do with the thought? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says this that I want you to be aware of something. And it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, the Apostle Paul reminds us, and he says this, therefore, let him who thinks he stands to take heed, lest he fall. Then he gives us this promise. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God's promise is very, very real in the area of temptation. But notice what it says, therefore let him who thinks, hey, what's going on in your head? What are you doing with the thoughts? Are you casting down those thoughts, those imaginations that exalt themselves against the knowledge and the will of God? Stephen Covey, a famous business writer, he wrote this, and I remember listening to a minister speak about this years and years and years ago. I didn't know where the quote came from, but it is from Stephen Covey. He's a famous business writer. He wrote Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And he wrote this. He said, so a thought, now listen, reap an action. So an action, reap a habit. So a habit, reap a character. So a character, reap a destiny. Now he's doing it in the positive here, isn't he? Right? And so, and I didn't ask my wife, so I'll have to get permission or forgiveness later. But my wife, 4 years ago, decided that she was going to walk every single day for 10 minutes outside. And I'm so proud of her, because what started as She sowed an action. She had a thought, I need to move. I need to move. And so what she did was she sowed that thought and she ended up acting on it. And she started walking. I was away at Winter Bible Seminar and it was cold. And it was in the winter when she started. And she sowed that action to now, today, it is a habit. And it's part of what she does, even to the family, saying to her, did you take your walk today? Right? Everybody asks her. They, you know, sometimes I haven't walked. I'm like, did you walk today? Right? Because she's... All right, yeah, Christine's dad asked her too, you know. It's like, have you had any adventures on Ames Road, you know? And it's something that's part of who she is, right? She walks every single day outside, snow, rain. One time she had vertigo. And Andrew's on one side of her, and I'm on the other. Walking down the street. She was so dizzy. And so she's committed. Absolutely committed. Can you imagine what we would do if we would apply God's word when those things come into our head that are not good and cast them down? How much further along in our maturity, our growth with God we would be? Sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Amen. Philippians 4:8, I referenced it earlier. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true. What's going on in your head? Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are noble. Whatsoever things are just. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, that if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Don't be meditating on the person that ticked you off. Right? You can always tell where somebody's at by what comes out of their mouth. Right? And that's, if that's an oh me, you don't have to say it. Because I'm talking to me too. All right? I'm talking to me too. And I wrote this in preparation this morning. I said, don't let negative thoughts have a voice in your life. Don't let negative thoughts have a voice. Just because they come up here in the screen of the brain, do not give them voice. Don't give them a voice. If you're the director of the show, tell them they're not cast today. Yeah. If they're the director of the show, you're not cast today. I am not speaking. I'm not speaking on that. Right? And just, I'm not speaking on that. And just be done. Don't give the thought a voice. Because when you give it a voice, it takes on a personality. And you don't always want that. Trust me. I've done it. We've all done it. Right? Because the hardest thing to tame, James tells us, is the tongue. Full of deadly poison. Setting forests on fire. Right?
Yes.
So, you gotta control your mouth. You got to control your mouth. So don't let the negative thought have a voice in your life. We, on the one hand, don't want to walk on eggshells. In other words, if you need to speak to somebody about a genuine hard feeling you're having, a difficult emotion you're having, find some trusted, prayerful people that you can share that with. Okay? So I'm not saying just stuff it. I'm not saying that. Because that can be unhealthy as well. All right? But on the flip side of that, you can't be walking on eggshells, you know, worried about every little word you're going to say. And don't become a confession cop, please. Don't police somebody else's mouth for them. It's not nice. Number one, let the Holy Ghost deal with them. Help them. Try to teach them if they'll be teachable, but don't just immediately correct them and say, "Don't say that." Don't do that. All right? It's because what it does is it just builds a wall. We want to set people free. We want them to experience God, right? We want to set them free. We don't want to have them build a wall up between us, right? So what comes out of your mouth is important. And then I said, on the one hand, we don't want to walk around on eggshells. But on the other hand, we don't want the enemy of our souls to gain a foothold over us by what we're saying. I'm broke. You've heard it. You've heard people say that. Oh, it's hopeless. Anybody heard that? You ever said it? It's no use. Right? There are so many times that we speak negative thoughts, we give them a voice, and we give them a starring role in our play. It's getting quiet here. Well, Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love it will eat its fruit. So if you want better fruit in your life, let's give some better voice to the positive thoughts. Remember, Philippians 4 told us what to think on, right? Yes. And now give those thoughts voice. Give those things that you're meditating and ruminating on. The goodness of God. The love of God. The faithfulness of God. Even when you feel like you're just trudging uphill backwards with, you know, 30 pounds of stuff on your head. You know, and you're like, man, I just feel it, right? Yep. Again, what are we doing? What are you doing with the thoughts that are coming into your head? You know, Jesus gives us a perfect example of this in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, he says in verse 31, Matthew 6, he says, therefore, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, notice the first part of verse 31. The King James even puts it this way. It says, take no thought, saying. Take no thought, saying. Jesus tells us, don't give the negative thoughts in your head voices. Don't give them a voice. Don't utter what is contrary to what God has for you. So, we know that in the arena of taking thoughts captive, that our tactics, our warfare can be effective against the enemy. Ephesians 6, which I read last week, talks about the whole armor of God, which, if you boil it down, is encompassed a knowledge of God, is a knowledge of his goodness. It's a knowledge of all the things that are available to us as believers, and we need to speak those out. In fact, the Apostle Paul echoes it again there when we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. It is part of what we have a responsibility to do. What's going on in your head? What is going on in your head, my head? Well, I told you, Romans chapter 12 last week, I told you, verse 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body, that includes your tongue, by the way. That includes your tongue, by the way. Your whole body. A living sacrifice. Oops! That means I can't say everything I think. Really? You're going to tell an American they can't say everything they think? That's problematic. Because that runs against culture, doesn't it? You can't say everything you think. Not as a Christian. My citizenship is in heaven. Right? Thank God I am a citizen of this nation. But I got to tell you something. We're flawed too. Because we're people. So you can't just say everything that comes to your mouth. Don't give the thought a voice. Don't give it a voice. John Maxwell said this. What about the times you beat yourself up when you do make a mistake? Right? Every one of us. Have you ever self-loathed in here? Felt really bad? And the enemy just goes, and you call yourself a Christian. And you go, yeah. And instead of running to God, the one who can help you, or filtering those thoughts, what do? We give voice to something that's not true. We give voice to something that's not true, and the enemy's there to oblige us. Well, maybe you're not a Christian. John Maxwell said this, every time you make a mistake, don't bring up everything that's wrong with yourself. Tell yourself you're paying the price for growth and that you'll learn to do better next time. Every positive thing you can say to yourself will help. Well, what's more positive than speaking the word of God that is quick and powerful and a sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even dividing of the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So pay that price to grow when that happens to you. Pay that price to grow. This morning I have a little tool for you that I brought along with me. And it's at the back table. I think I have one. Yeah, it's called My Never Again List. I think I have it right here. My Never Again List. I printed these out for you as a guide. This was taken by a book by, I wish I could say I came up with it. I did not. But we have them in the back. If we could pass them out to everybody, that would be great. So that you can follow along. This is My Never Again List. My Never Again List. And this is taken from a book by Don Gossett, which spoke about how the power of confession for the believer is very, very important. We know in church history that the Apostles' Creed and some of the things were confessions that said what we believe in, you know, to identify us to as believers, what we believe. And so those were confessions. They were actually formulated, agreed upon by many of the early church leaders and church fathers. Typically there are only two versions and there are very slight differences between the two of them. But those are important because of who we are and what we say. Now, last week I said to you that the speech center in the brain responds, or actually causes our body to respond to physiological things that we say. So if you're speaking life, you're speaking positive, I choose to speak life. So this is just an example. You don't have to necessarily do this regimented in some kind of legalistic way, but I wanted to give you kind of an idea of how you can combat and take captive the thoughts that come your way, that come my way, every single day. And notice what the first one says. It says, never again will I confess I can't. Here's the Bible verse that combats that. For I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. Number two, never again will I confess, not enough. For my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Never again will I confess that I'm unloved. For God's word says I'm loved and nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that good? So what does this do to you? Well, we know from Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that it causes faith to rise inside of you. If we understand these principles that I've been sharing with you these last several weeks of what's going on in your head, how do you handle that lack of peace? How do you handle that really weird thought that comes into your brain that's a temptation or that's just a negative, untrue lie from the enemy? He is the deceiver. That's his job. That's what he does. He's the father of lies. He only knows how to speak lies. And so we understand how to take those thoughts captive. We're going to do it with the word of God. When we understand that the fiery darts of the enemy are not necessarily the big things that come our way, but it's the little things that come our way. It's those little nagging things that can get infected in us where we'll end up walking in unforgiveness towards somebody or we'll hold a grudge towards somebody. Come on, people. This is where the rubber meets the road, right? This is where our relationships at home matter. This is where our relationships with our kids, with our families, with our extended family, with the church, right? Because guess what? The church is also made up of what? Imperfect people. So you have opportunity to walk in love. You have opportunity to choose forgiveness over offense, right? You have the opportunity to choose fellowship over isolation. You have the opportunity to choose communication over just, I'm not communicating with you. Right? Come on, we have that opportunity. And so what do? We cast those things down, right? We know we're loved. Notice what number four is. Never again will I confess fear. Well, fear comes in many forms. The fear of man. What is somebody going to think when I make this stand for God? What is somebody going to think when I choose to be baptized in public? I heard it said recently, and I never heard it put this way when I was at another church, when I was visiting down in Florida. I heard it put that baptism is the wedding band of Christianity. And I thought, I've never heard that. But that's pretty cool, right? When I walk around with my wedding band on, that means I'm taken, right? When you get baptized in Christ, you belong to him. Come on. That is the wedding band of Christianity, right? So if you've not been water baptized, let us know, because we'd love to help figure that out for you.
Amen.
All right? Amen. Amen. Never again will I confess doubt and lack of faith.
I just don't have enough faith.
Just don't give voice to that. For God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Never again will I confess weakness, for the Lord is the strength of my life. The people that know their God will be strong and do exploits. Right? I will never again confess the supremacy of Satan over my life, because greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. I will not confess defeat, for God always leads me to triumph in Christ Jesus. In other words, I win in Jesus, right? Never again will I confess lack of wisdom. Jesus Christ is made unto me wisdom from God. Never again will I confess sickness, because with his stripes I am healed. Jesus himself took my infirmities, bare my sicknesses. These are things that I believe will help you. They're not an exhaustive list. You could probably look up more scriptures about the thoughts that come to you. And there's only 18 on this page, but I guarantee you there's plenty more than 18 thoughts that come to you. All right? So we're not going to go over every single one of them today, but I wanted to give you that as kind of like a bow put on the package for this series to say what's going on in your head. If you'll listen to these four messages, I believe it will help you in a greater way to have victory in your life. Because the ultimate goal is that we mature in Christ and that we grow up in Him, right? We grow up in Him and that we shine His light wherever we are, wherever we are. Some books that I'd like to recommend to you is Right and Wrong Thinking by Brother Kenneth Hagin. Joyce Meyer wrote the book Battlefield of the Mind, another really good one. And I know that Pastor Christine had a little pamphlet out there of some other books that have to do with this subject. Mastering the Silence by Doug Jones. These are resources that will help you grow, that are going to help you in your walk with God. Resources that I believe will absolutely help you to be all that God wants you to be in your life. Our goal here is that you grow up in Christ. That's our goal. Because the more mature you are in Christ, then you can start to teach others and pull them up and be a blessing to them and pour into them as well. Don't give negative thoughts, voices in your life. So that's the messages that we wanted to present to you these last several weeks. Thank you so much for your attentiveness. If you need further help or you need, you know, you do need that trusted confidant that you can sit down with and talk with because you are feeling some things. You don't want to necessarily confess negative stuff, but you've got to talk to somebody. That is where a ministry time can be available to you. We can set up a time to minister to you when it comes to some of those things. All right. So we love you so much. Thank you so much for being attentive. If you watch online, and don't forget, and we didn't mention it today, we are believing God to fill this house. That's what we're speaking for this church, right? Fill this house. It's time to fill the house. So you can go online as well, and there are some QR codes, and you can use the little invite cards to invite people to come to Westchester Family Church, because we're believing God to fill the house. Amen. Let's bow our heads with a word of prayer. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ or you've been away from Him for some time, we want to give you an opportunity to come back to Christ or to come to know Him. And it's real simple. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says that if you believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus is who He said He is, that He came to die for your sins, and you confess Him with your mouth, you will be saved. So confession, what you say out of your mouth, is important. To say He is my Lord means He gets to call the shots. So with every head bowed, nobody moving around, let's just bow our heads right now and let's just give people a moment of privacy. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Just a moment. And if you need to know Christ, or if you're watching online and you want prayer, you can message us on Facebook. We would love to be able to pray with you individually. But right now, let's just pray this simple prayer together. But before I do that, is there anybody here who either is coming back to Christ or coming to Christ for the first time? I want you to raise your hand. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I do that just in case, even if I think everybody here is saved, I want to give you an opportunity. Praise God. Let's just pray that simple prayer together so if somebody's watching online, they can join in with this prayer. Say, Father God, I come before You in the name of Jesus. I believe in my heart that Jesus is who He said He is. He's the Son of God. He died for my sins. I receive His forgiveness by faith right now. And I call Jesus my Lord, my Savior, from this day forth, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or it was an act of rededication, we want to know about it. We'd love to be able to send you some tools, maybe help you find a good church if you're not near here, just to kind of get you to grow in the things of God. If you need extra prayer or special prayer for anything after service, I'll be available down front. If you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, we are a Spirit-filled church. We believe in the supernatural power of God. We believe in healing and the laying on of hands. We believe that God is still working miracles in this day and age, and we desire to see it, and we step out, and we do see it. Amen? So, let's stand to our feet for our sending out verse right now. And let's all just speak and confess this over ourselves and our church today. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. You are dismissed.